It's good to be in the house of God. My message today is titled, As It Is in Heaven, and our heartbeat for expansion. And I want to encourage you. How good was it to have the worship team this morning, the creative team, just lead us so that we could minister to God? You know, I truly believe that God ministers to us, but in those moments, it's a moment for us to minister worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to thank our team for making that just a moment for us, to minister. Thanks for that clap. Phil gave a clap. Amazing. Well, I'm not gonna preach for overly long this morning. I want to be straight to the point. Hold me to it. I want to be straight to the point. I really want to encourage us as we come into this expansion moment. We're going to be having our expansion offering and commitment at the end of the service. But I want to let you know what we've been able to do as believers. We're believers who have faith and action, not just in our hearts, but in what we do. And this past year, and this is so important, this past year we've seen 57 individuals within our church partner with the expansion offering. And I want to encourage you, that's amazing. Why is it amazing? Because it's 40% more than the amount of people the year before. Like it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And 57 of us who committed to believing that God wants to use us as conduits to pass on miracles, we saw collectively $107,803.47. That's the figure. And the figure's amazing. It's amazing. Why is it amazing? Because this is outside of our tithes and offerings that we give. This is something extra, something special for the kingdom, to see the gospel preached, to see moments made for our community to connect to the kingdom of God, amen, to take care of people in our community. It's a God's supernatural provision. And may our hearts and minds just grow, oh yeah, that's good. No, it is amazing that a group of people within our church have been so committed to this. Honestly, I think the figure is wonderful. I think it blew away everything. But the most amazing thing is an extra 40% of us chose to commit, partner with the kingdom of God. And there's been testimonies, and I'm sure there'll be continue to be testimonies of what God has done throughout last year into this year. Testimonies of salvation, testimonies of provision, testimonies of people from our community coming to a place where they're loved and cared for with the love of Christ. You know, we've talked about what we're believing to accomplish in this next year of expansion, and you can see all of the community, kingdom and facilities goals that we have in the booklet. You may have this booklet. It's on the website as well. I'm pretty sure the website's on the screen at the moment. You can go and have a look at that. If you haven't heard the message from our expansion launch, all the information is there. Link through to the message to hear it as well. But I'm not gonna rehash that today. It's important that we focus on some other things to develop further what we need to tap into today. You know, what is important for us to talk about today is how many individuals that we're believing to partner with expansion over this next 12-month period. You know, the cry of our heart for this year around expansion is Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done as it is in heaven. God has a specific will for his people, a specific will for his church, and it's our heart cry that whatever he wills for us, that we're desiring for it, as it is in heaven, God, let it come to earth. As it is in heaven, let it come to our church. As it is in heaven, let it come to our families. We want your will. in every area of our lives. I want to encourage you, if that's not front and center for you at the moment within your relationship with a spouse or someone that you're looking to have a relationship with, if that's not what's in front of you with your family, with your household, with the way that you act in your work, can I encourage you? Start desiring from the will of God that it may be in your heart, in your family's heart, in your workplace, as it is in heaven, God. Let it be in those places also. You know, in 2025, 2026, we're believing for 70 individuals to partner with Expansion. We're not going to talk about how much money we're believing for. In the booklet and in the message, there's some things about what things are going to cost. But I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on us coming together as a church and say, I'll commit to that. I'll be part of seeing that happen. Why? Because we're committed to God's mission. We're committed to seeing the gospel go. We're committed to going for the gospel. I'm believing in this coming 12 months, there's going to be some exciting things happen around that, what we're believing to step out into. I want to say it again today, the Great Commission is our calling. The Great Commission is our calling. You know, I remember when I was a young person, I was like, God, what's my calling? I want to encourage you, just like any household, a household needs people responsible for things to function. Someone needs to do the dishes. Someone needs to put the bin out. Someone needs to remember to put the bin out before they're chasing it down the street. Someone needs to cut the lawn. Someone needs to wash the car. So within a church, of course, there's all these functional things that are required to happen for the house to be functional. But our calling is the Great Commission to join Jesus in the work that he began. He passed it on to us in Matthew 28, 19, 20. This is our calling, sharing Jesus with family and friends, sharing Jesus with colleagues, sharing Jesus with our city and beyond. That is what we are built for and called for. Amen. I want us to take a moment this morning to understand what we're part of. We are part of something so much bigger than ourselves. We are part of something so much bigger than our church. We are part of the King's calling, part of the commission set before us, and we are actively part of the kingdom of God. We're not sitting in the bleachers. We're not watching from the sidelines. We are actively in the King's kingdom. And as believers in Jesus, we became members of God's kingdom when we received Jesus as Lord and Savior. We were made to be sons and daughters, children of God, when we received Jesus. Does that excite anyone? It excites me. This has been ministering to me over the past couple of weeks. God's children. I am God's child. You are God's child. When you received Jesus, you became his. John 1:12 says it like this. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Yeah. One more time. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This is your right. Your right to be children of God. If you've received him, if you've believed in his name, you have the right to be a child of God. No one can rob it from you. No one can take it away. It is your right. It's your birthright. What a wonderful right to have. But with this wonderful right also becomes a wonderful responsibility. There is a wonderful responsibility that comes when you have the wonderful right of being a child of God. See, as I just mentioned before, in the same way as we're part of an earthly family, in most households, there is the hope, the eternal desire that our children would be part of the household and participate in the responsibility of the family. The hope, that eternal desire that most parents get up at 5 a.m. It's like, Lord, let my children respond to at least do half a chore. There's a responsibility that comes when you're part of a household. There's a responsibility that comes when you're part of a family. There's a responsibility that comes when you're part of the kingdom of God. You know, with our family members, it could be helping out with cooking and cleaning and dishes. And as we get older, the responsibility to help pay rent or a home loan within the family. But our kingdom responsibility, yes. Yes, it involves things like hospitality and helping and serving each other, but it's so much more than just running a functional household. So much more than running a functional household. See, part of the responsibility that we have as sons and daughters is the right to joining God in the work that He started. It's a responsibility to join God in the work that He started. As His children, hear this morning, we have joined the family business. As His children, we've joined the family business. And the family business is kingdom business. The family business is sharing the hope of Jesus so that more people have the right to be called children. This is the family business that we are now part of. See, this kingdom business is His heart for caring for those who don't know Him, for sharing the good news of Jesus through the Great Commission and taking care and stewarding well of what is His. This is part of our responsibility for being in the kingdom of God. Like I said at the beginning, you can see how we're wanting to take care of all of those things in the expansion booklet. But what I want us to do this morning for this brief moment of time is look at God's heart. God's heart behind why we are committing ourselves and why we are committing our finances to His kingdom business. Let's talk about community for just a moment. In Matthew 25... starting in verse 34, many of you will be familiar with this passage of Scripture. It says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' And then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?'" Verse 40, "And the king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" We are in the kingdom business of doing God's work here on earth. He can't give someone a drink. He can't give someone clothes. He can't invite a stranger in. Who does He use to do it? His children He uses to do it. This is why we're looking after our community. This is why we're inviting strangers into our church. Every week, every Friday, inviting strangers into our church to sit with us, to talk with us, to share a drink with them, to share food with them so that they can go back to their families. We share the goodness of God so that they can share it with their families as well. Amen. See, the communities, the neighborhoods, the neighbors around us, every time we care, every time we offer food, water, visitation, clothing, every time we do this as individuals, as a church, we're ministering on behalf of God to others and also directly to God. Verse 40 is quite clear. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So this is why we commit to ministering to our community. And I pray this as it is in heaven. God's will for our community, let heaven come to earth as it is in heaven. Father God, use us to see heaven come to the lives of our community. Amen. Let's focus on kingdom for just a little bit. Mark 16, 15 says this. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. This is the kingdom business that we are called to. Does it excite you to go into all the world and preach the good news? I can guarantee you this. It excited the person who spoke to you first. It excited the person who spoke to you, who just unrelentingly just couldn't put it down. God ministered to their heart and passion gripped their soul and said, you've got, this is my future son and daughter. I'm bringing them back into the kingdom. They couldn't let go of it. You've heard my testimony. My friend couldn't let go of it. Couldn't let go of it. At the time, I was annoyed, potentially even angry. Now, the testimony of my heart rejoices that 30 times I said no, but on the 31st, you get where I'm coming from, right? He just wouldn't relent. Who was that person for you? Could be a family member, could have been a colleague. Could have been someone that you studied with. Could have been a random person. Just came up to you in the middle of the street. Started sharing the hope of Jesus. And you can probably tell where I'm going with this. Who are you called to take the same message to? Who are you called to minister? Not just hope to, but the salvation of God to. This is the kingdom business, the family business that we're called to. You know, Jesus' call to all disciples is to go to all the world and share the good news of Jesus with all people, your family, friends, strangers, neighbors, that all would have the opportunity to receive him, believe in his name, and become children of God. May our hearts be stirred, not just to think about it, not just to have good intentions about it, but may our hearts be stirred to take it to the people he is calling us to minister to. So, but Pastor, I'm shy. Shy is not a spiritual gifting. Now, I'm not belittling your shyness, because the reality is there are things that happen in our worlds that keep us shy and timid at times. But God has not called you to be timid. God has given you love, and he's given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. It is something that we can grow in. It is something that we can cultivate. I don't know about you, but I know people who are sitting in this room right now that for most of their childhood, adolescent years, and early young adult years were quiet and withdrawn. That was life's circumstances and situations, but God had another plan. He has a plan for you. His perfect will for you is to share the love of Jesus with people around you. And this is why we are committed for the good news to be shared locally in Australia and throughout the world. We're providing opportunities for communities and neighborhoods to hear the gospel in its fullness. Not part of it. You know, the part gospel says, come to Jesus, your life is going to be great. The full gospel says, come to Jesus, it's about to get a whole lot harder, but you'll be known as a son and daughter of Jesus. Yeah. Amen. See, we're believing for our special services that we have throughout the year, Christmas and Easter, to overflow. May we have to give up all of our seats, amen. We're believing for our Sunday services to be full of people who are have found and are finding Jesus. And if you're wanting something to believe for, if you're wanting something to pray for, if you're wanting something to inspire you to go to your friends and family and to the people in your world, I'm believing that every Sunday, this is my first faith goal for us as a church, to have 250 people crammed into this room that causes us to go, we need to make more space. You might think, oh, you're just interested in the numbers. Oh, no, dear brothers and sisters. I'm interested in people becoming children. Children of God. May our hearts be driven. May passion fill our hearts and our souls for the cause of the kingdom. You know, we're committed to missions, church plants locally and globally. We're committed to Youth Live Victoria, but we're also committed for this, to reinforce my point, for each of us to represent Jesus in our neighborhoods and community. Because let me tell you, when we represent Jesus, it speaks volumes. We can talk about things, but when we represent Jesus, when we represent him well, his heart, people respond, people take note. You know, we're driven by the commission, so the kingdom of God expands through salvation. Anyone believe that? I strongly, strongly believe it. For the last time, John 1 verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. May it be the right of everyone in our city to know Jesus. Lastly, as we come around our facilities today, you know, God has given us, by his grace, he's given us a building, he's given us plots of land, he's given us tools for the ministry, he's given us stewardship of our properties. And God is clear in his scriptures that when we prove ourselves to be trusted with the little things, that we can also be trusted with much. And this is one of the reasons why we introduced the God, Money and Me series last month. May we be stewards of the little, so that he can trust us to pour into us, not just to store it up, but to do God's work with what he gives us. Luke 16:10 says this, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? What's the true riches? It's the message of the kingdom, isn't it? That's the true riches. Everything else fades away. Everything else will fade to nothing, but not Jesus. And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? We could teach on this for about 86 years, but I want to encourage you. If you know, maybe you're renting at the moment. You know, in most houses in most streets in Australia, you can tell the house is being rented. As people of the kingdom, you want to be trusted with a little so that he can trust you with much? Look after someone else's things. Look after someone else's things. Mow the lawn. Pull some weeds. If you don't want to do it, pay someone else to do it. But look after it. Look after it. God sees that. God pays attention to that. See, our commitment to stewardship, care, and maintenance and development is 100% part of our responsibility. Not the pastor's. Ours. You know, I had someone come to me maybe 6 months ago, and they're like, I don't see why I should give you money for the building that you own. I'm like, do you think that this building is mine? So yeah, you're the pastor. You're like, you must own it. I'm like, and I've waited for today to talk about it. This is ours. This is not owned by a central big church in the middle of Melbourne who has some type of committee that orchestrates what happens here. This is us. This is us together contributing to what God has given us. This is us taking care of it. If we don't take care of it, guess who will? No one will take care of it. This is us. This is us believing that God has called us to put a stake in the ground here and say, this city will hear the good news of Jesus. This city will see a group of people who love Jesus so much that they're prepared to give up what in the natural looks like, oh, you're just giving up things for a pastor who owns a building. No, this is us. This is us. This is me giving in to us as well. If you're wondering, does the pastor tithe? 52 weeks out of 52 weeks. Absolutely. Why? Because I believe in this, I would hope, more than people in this space, right? We're called to this together. Our commitment to stewardship. Yeah, it's directly connected to us. When we do this well, it's directly connected to us preparing for the more that God wants to pour into our community. How do we do this? We take responsibility. We take care. We take it seriously. We hold ourselves accountable. And if we're not very good at that, we ask other people to join us in holding ourselves accountable. We care for it like we own it. Let's be clear. Everything that's been poured into this, yep, we've sown money together, each as individuals. But whose is it really? It's His. And we're called to take care of it, to look after it. We prove ourselves trustworthy, not just with church things, but with all the blessings that God gives us. All the blessings that He brings to our lives, with the riches, the properties, whatever He has. It's like, God, may I be able to use this? So how do I use my home for God's glory? Invite a colleague for dinner. Invite someone who you've become friends with at the local shopping center. Maybe one of the people that work at your supermarket and you've just been building a relationship over time. They know you. By now, they probably know that you're a believer or there's something very different because you take the time to talk to them. How do you use what God gives you for His glory? Invite strangers. Use wisdom around that. Don't just like walk up to the guy who's standing out of the tea bar and be like, hey, come to my house. It's like, hey. Wisdom. So I say this one more time. We are not here to build a building, amen. We're here to reach your city for Jesus. And if we need to build buildings and we need to support other churches who are building buildings, we'll do it. Why? To reach cities for Jesus. You know, Matthew 25, 14 to 30, I'm not going to read the whole thing this morning for time's sake, but it's the parable of three servants. Many of you will be familiar with it. And it talks about how the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. Effectively representing that Jesus is going on a long trip. And He called His servants together, His disciples, and entrusted them with His finances, entrusted them with the riches. And I'm not drawing a parallel today to say that Jesus has entrusted us with riches. He's entrusted us with the richest thing on earth. And the richest thing that He's trusted us with is the good news of Jesus Christ, the salvation story of Him coming to earth, walking as a man, but also God, blameless without sin, went to the cross, was buried, rose again on the third day so that we could be forgiven of all of our sin and be known as God's children. This is the greatest riches that we carry as believers in Christ. And I want to encourage you that in this passage of Scripture here, there's three people, three workers. One of them takes what is given, the riches that his master's given, and he does everything within his power to multiply it. The second takes what is given, does everything within his power to multiply it. The third, who lives in fear of his master, buries it in the ground, hides the riches, doesn't do anything to try and replicate it and develop it. And the master comes back and looks at the first one and is like, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. You've been faithful. You've been so faithful. And blessings are heaped upon them. But the third, the master is obviously disappointed, gives the money to the others, says, here, this is for doing what I called you to do. See, the third one didn't even take what he was given and try and invest it into a bank. Didn't try just the lowest common denominator. I want to encourage us. We are not called to the lowest common denominator as Christians, as believers, as followers of Jesus. Not for a moment am I saying in a parallel here, not all of us are called to be evangelists. Some of us are. Not all of us are called to stand up on stages. Some of us are. But we are all called to replicate the salvation that we have in lives of other people. We're all called to do that. We're all called to pass on the good news of Jesus. Some of us will do it sitting in the lunchroom, just over a table, building a relationship and gently share it with the people around us. Appropriately share it with the people around us. Some of us will walk down the street and God will just illuminate someone and be like, I have to speak to them. God's illuminated that interview and I need to share the goodness of Jesus with them. Some of us will stop people in a supermarket. So I just need to encourage you that God's thinking of you. I don't know what you're going through right now, but God, you're in God's heart. I want to encourage you. We don't bury it. We don't hide it. We don't keep it inside the four walls. This is the family business to share the good news of Jesus. You want to get God's attention? Outwork his principles in your words, in your deeds, in your everyday life, in your partnership with the kingdom of God. To all of this we say, as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. You know, use us to bring glory to you and souls to your kingdom. Use us to minister to those in our cities who may be classed as the least of these. Use us to steward the little to make way for the much. Your kingdom come, your will be done, God. Just as we come to a close this morning, you know, it's my deepest desire, your kingdom come on earth, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our schools, in our universities, in our workplaces, in our sporting clubs, in every generation, in the friendships we keep, in the homes that we take care of, in the finances that God provides, in our families, in our children. May his kingdom come. May his will be done. In the relationships we keep with our spouses, may his kingdom come. May his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, this sincere desire is for us to see God's kingdom. God's kingdom, God's perfect will. See, why do we do this as a church? It's in unity. We're aligning ourselves with God's kingdom. We could quite easily just be a church that goes through the motions. We come together, sing some songs, worship Jesus, and then just go back to whatever our daily lives are. But that's not the desire of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is for us to be active, to be sharp, to be his mouthpiece, to be his hands, to be his feet. See, we're believing for God's will. We're believing for his presence to be manifested, for his power to be shown. And as believers, we choose to be in one step together, eagerly desiring for God's kingdom to come, for the earth to be filled with God's glory, for the kingdom to come to the hearts of men and women, for God's will to be done on earth. This is my desire. This is my desire. If you want to capture anything from today, if you've listened to nothing else, just focus in now. May God's will be done in our time as it is in heaven. May God's will be done in our time. We have a responsibility of stewardship for this time in history. In our time, may God's perfect will be done, amen, as it is in heaven. Just as we come towards the end this morning, it would be absolutely remiss of me if you are here today and you don't know Jesus personally, not to give you the opportunity to become a child of God. You know, you've heard me say that Jesus went to the cross, the grave, and rose again for the forgiveness of sin, so that all humanity could come into relationship with God. He was the sacrifice so that we could be forgiven for our sin. And it would be completely remiss of me not to give you the opportunity to respond. And this isn't a moment to embarrass you. This is a moment to empower you. This is a moment to make sure that you know exactly who your Father in heaven is, and to stop leading the life that you are leading, to lay those things aside, put sin aside, turn your face and your heart to Jesus and be known as a son and daughter. And so this is what, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And this is just to give people in the room just some space to process what God is speaking to their heart about right now. If you're online today, this is for you as well. It's a moment to process. God's been drawing your heart, calling you, drawing you close. Just with our eyes closed for a moment, if this is you, you know, I may have been coming to church for a long time or a while. This might be my first time. But I know that what you're talking about is what I need. I need to be forgiven of my sin. I need to come back into relationship with God. I need His purpose and His will for my life. And if that's you, in a moment, on the count of three, I'm going to give you the opportunity to put your hand up. Then you can put it back down. And we're going to include you in a prayer. You're going to pray a prayer together, making Jesus Lord of your life. And if that's you today, on the count of three, one, two, three, put your hand up. Anyone say, yeah, that's me. Don't let this opportunity, this moment pass you by. This is the most important thing, the most important moment that you've ever come to be known by God as a child of God, forgiven, no more separation. To have a Father in heaven who loves you, is committed to you, will never leave you, never forsake you. To anyone to say, yeah, that's me. I need it. I want it. Just with our eyes closed this morning, we're going to pray a prayer. Prayer of salvation. And church, can I ask you to pray it nice and loud with us? But if you put your hand up or you didn't because there was an element, will someone see? Don't worry about your hand going up. God is interested in your heart today. He loves you so much that He sent Jesus. Pray this prayer with me as well. Dear God, I thank You that You sent Jesus. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that You raised Jesus on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. I repent of my sin, and from this day, I choose to follow You and make You Lord of my life. I am now a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, if you pray that prayer for the first time, or you prayed it because you just knew that you needed to come back and get yourself in the right place, heaven rejoices right now. Heaven rejoices at anyone who comes back into the Father's house. You know, if you made a decision and you're thinking to yourself, what's next? What's next is, if you don't have a Bible, we're going to give you a Bible. What's next is we would love you to head out to the new people's area after the service. Just touch base and say, hey, I prayed that prayer. I'm interested in making a go of what it means to be a disciple. Can you help me? We would love to help you on that journey. If you're online, there'll be a link on your screen. You can go to that and to get in contact with us, because we want to encourage you in your way of following Jesus. God's good, amen. What we are part of is so much bigger than what we understand. May it continue to emanate in our hearts of what that means. In a moment, we're going to take up our expansion offering. Some people may have come with finances to do that today. Some people may have come with a card or an envelope, and you've written down what you're going to give over the next 3 months or 6 months or 12 months. I want to encourage you that if you haven't prayerfully considered it, don't just throw a number on there. Spend some time talking to God. If you're part of a family, talk to your spouse. You know, I want to remind us as well today that there is an element of faith that's involved in this as well. For all of us as individuals, it's like, but you know, when we say to God, it's like, God, you've put this figure on my heart, and we step out in faith. We do everything within our power. We go to work. We become conduits for God's provision. And then we say, God, we're activating faith. Now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. And so don't be held by us. Oh, but this and that. God takes care of his children. And he'll speak to us. He's already spoken to me clearly about something that I need to do to make this happen. It's one of those ones where it's like, is that you, Lord? But I believe in when he speaks to us and we respond with obedience, watch what God will do. And Bevan, you got your little thing? We're going to do exactly what we did last year. We had a little container out the front, and this isn't about making people feel good for participating or bad for not participating. This is purely about sometimes taking a step of faith, a step of, hey, I'm in this, I'm committed to this together. It says something to ourselves, and it says something to the body as well, that we're in this together. And if you're not prepared today, don't feel like you have to come out and put a blank one in. Like, just go and pray. You're like, go and spend some time. It's like this. It's more important to prayerfully walk through this rather than just put on a show. None of us are interested in that. We're interested in the body growing strong together. But let's we're going to pray over it before we take up our offering and commitment. Dear God, we come before you. And we're so grateful that we're part of your kingdom, that you have called us to participate and be active. And we pray that even as we commit to this next 12 months of seeing the gospel go forward in ways that we haven't yet done, but we are actively working towards and we're believing for them to be activated. Holy Spirit, let your hand be upon us. Let your blessing be upon us as we commit to your commission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Whenever you're ready, feel free to come and put your commitment card in. And after we've done this, we'll close the service and then we'll have some fellowship and coffee and tea. And as you head out into your week, I want to encourage you. God is for you. And if God is for you, none can be against you. Amen. I don't know who needed to hear that today. I know that I needed to hear it. God's ministering. I want to minister it to you. God is for you. And if God is for you, none can be against you. We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.